in that it's more from healing rooms material from healing on healing, and I found it interesting, and it gave a new perspective to me in terms of faith, and I thought it would be good to share. And I would like to encourage some discussion as we go through this in response. Okay. And it's the title for today is Faith for Healing. And I put on your outline that it's extracted from the Healing Foundation series, and it was written by Reverend Carol Pierce. And he had some interesting, I'll say, thoughts, concepts, some new to me and some not new, but an interesting perspective in terms of how faith operates. So, Father, we just thank you. We bless you. We honor you for the truth of your word. Lord, your truth is life to us. The scripture tells us that it is life, the word of God is life and health to our very flesh. And so we just thank you, and we just ask that you would illuminate us as your word is shared today, as we just study your word to get understanding. We study your word for wisdom, and we study your word for knowledge concerning faith and concerning healing. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I started this off by saying that Reverend Pierce states, God is trying to move us up. He wants to get us on his freeway, you know. And when it's not like when I think about, it's a play on words. It's like he wants us to be free. So he's trying to get us on his freeway. We call it a highway. Again, a play on words. A higher way, you know, a higher standard. And he says, rather than waiting for God to move, we become the move of God. It's like we become not just the hearers, but the doers of the word. Amen. So that's the premise of this particular lesson. He suggests that this starts with the body of Christ, first repenting of things that they have done that separate them from God. And when I think about that, I'm not, I don't, sure, it could be sin, but I think it's also in the way we think, in getting ourselves involved in the traditions of man rather than the word. It could be putting self before God. For example, many pray and basically tell God what to do and how to do it, right? And I think that could be sin. Because God is God, right? And he has a will and he has a way. And what he's suggesting, and I agree with, is God, he definitely is concerned about us. And he's concerned about our needs. But he may not necessarily meet those needs the way we think they should be met, right? And so, he's saying that we have to align with God's will, not God align with our will. Okay? And he goes on to say, what happens when that repentance comes from anything that we have done to separate ourselves from God, this produces a great move of the Holy Spirit. And it's the spirit of repentance that causes the Holy Spirit to begin to flow without restriction throughout the body of Christ. It requires us to begin to set ourselves into that place where our heart is being constantly circumcised to the heart of God. Like we're always aligning ourselves with his heart and his will. And he says here, we think the way Jesus thinks because he blows our mind so that we just have the mind of Christ. So we think according to what he thinks. We don't move until the Holy Spirit tells us where to go. We don't speak until the Holy Spirit tells us what to say. We live and move and have our being in him, and we no longer pay attention to what the enemy is doing. And I love this sentence, because we're simply too busy destroying his works to worry about what he does. Isn't that good? We're doing God's work, and we're so busy doing it, we are just totally oblivious of the enemy and what he's doing. Okay. He made an interesting, Reverend Pierce made an interesting point. He says that the will of God is already fulfilled, but not yet fulfilled in man. And we need to begin to be the fulfillment of God on the earth. He calls this revival. He says that when we become the fulfillment of God on the earth, he calls that revival. And he talks in this particular chapter about the need for that to be generational. Like we're passing it from this generation to the next generation to the next generation. Like I think about like in Kimberly's family, you have four generations? And we can see that her mom, Kimberly, Kimberly's children, and now grandchildren. And revival, and Kimberly has given us examples of that. Revival started in their family, right, many years ago when one brother, if I'm mistaken, got saved. And it has had a rippling effect. And he says that that's a part of the fulfillment of God on the earth. You know, I think about my own family. You know, my mom was a strong believer. She was primarily in the Baptist church, but when she made a decision to come to Raleigh with me in 1996, I think it was, she left all her Baptist roots and she went into a non-denominational church that worshiped, prayed, did things so differently. And my mom was probably in her early to mid 70s at the time. And she had never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. But she, I've told this story before, she was curious. You know, she wanted the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And one night we were at home and we had like a Bible study and the group was praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden I heard my mom praying in the Spirit, you know. And so she was a kind of woman. She did not leave her bedroom in the morning until she prayed. She said, I got to talk to the Lord. She did not go to sleep at night without talking to the Lord. And I can remember as a teenager, every problem or situation I brought to her, she would say to me, just pray about it. And I would go, oh, you know, because I did. It's like I wanted her to give me her advice. And she would say, just pray about it. Just pray about it. But now I understand what she meant. You know, as I got older and more mature, I saw a wisdom and a wiseness in her that as a teenager I didn't see. I think that's also what he means, where the fulfillment of God on the earth, it comes through us from God to our children, to this generation, you know, and to the people around us. Matthew 6:10 says, wait a minute, I think I got ahead of myself. No, I think I'm all right. Matthew 6:10 says, Heaven doesn't need to come to earth, but God's kingdom. And that arises when we fulfill God's will. You know, we need the kingdom of God to come to earth. He says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What's in heaven? The kingdom. What does he need to come on earth? The kingdom. Yeah. And we are a part of the fulfillment of the kingdom of God on the earth. Can you say that with me? I am a part of the fulfillment of God's kingdom on the earth. Amen. Do you believe that? Agree with that? Yes. Good stuff. And then he says here, when we fulfill his will, we move in power, in the power of dominion, because we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And we become dominion-minded, where we control the world. The world doesn't control us. Are we controlling right now? You don't have to answer that, but anyway. But we are. We just don't see it yet, maybe, in all aspects. God created the world for his children, his kids. He didn't create it for the devil and his crew. He commissioned us to go into all the world and to minister the gospel and to destroy the work of the enemy and to set the captive free, to take back what the enemy had stolen from us, and to move in absolute authority and dominion. Amen? God is not trying to teach us how to process his will into the realm that is already given to him, but not received by us. I'm sorry, God is trying to teach us how to process his will into the realm that has already been given to us. So his will has already been fulfilled. It just hasn't completely been fulfilled in us in terms of having that dominion, having that authority, having that power demonstrated on the earth. But that's the heart of God. So let's see. It is the creative force of the Word of God. Wait a minute, I'm sorry, I skipped a place. Well, that's a good sentence. I'm going to read it anyway. It is the creative force of the Word of God in you that when you activate it, it begins to cause the Word to be fulfilled in and through you. Because the Word produces faith, it produces faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. So in Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen," right? So we're going to talk now about the value of faith. Faith is an absolute must for miracles and the supernatural. We have to have faith for that. Faith is not an option for us. The Word of God produces it. I think this is one of the things that really stuck out in this particular article for me is how, you know, we talk about the importance of the Word, but it's getting the Word, Pastor Tim talks a lot about this, getting the Word in our heart. As we get the Word in our heart, it produces faith. And then God does the activation. You know, if we take it in and we get it in our heart, then God activates faith that he's already given us. Because we talk about the scripture that says we live by the faith of the Lord Jesus, right? So he activates the faith that's in us. And then that faith produces the fulfillment of God's will on the earth. When I was writing this up, I thought about, and I've shared this before, when I was going through that process of selling my home, it looked like it was not going to happen. You talk about hitting obstacles, bumps in the road. Yeah, just it seemed like, you know, the inspectors would come and they were tearing my house apart. I mean, this needed to be done, that needed to be done, this was broken, that was broken. One guy even said there was structural damage to the house, and there was no structural damage. And then I found out that there was something wrong with the heating unit in the upstairs of the house, which was a blessing kind of in disguise, because I wouldn't have known that, and I'm still living in the house. You know, I could have gone to sleep one night and not awakened because of the problem with it. So God exposed that. There was problems with the barrier in the crawl space, so that had to be replaced. And so the list just went on and on and on. And I remember being so stressed out. I mean, like crying and boo-hooing and Lord, you know, what am I making the right decisions? Just thinking I'm so confused. And one day I was sitting in my family room and I was praying. I have to admit, I was crying, but I was praying to God. And all of a sudden, let me go back. Prior to that prayer time, the Lord woke me up early one morning and he said to me, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly above everything you ask or think. And I said, okay, Lord. I didn't know what but I received that word from him. And so later I'm sitting in my family room, my chair, and I'm crying and I'm boo-hooing. And I you know, something in me just rose up and I stopped crying. And I said with the loudest voice I could say, no. God, you said you were going to give me exceedingly above anything I could ask or think. You're my God. I'm your daughter. And I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it. I can't really do anything about it. I don't know what to do. But I choose to trust you. And as I went on with that, just as praise and worship start coming out of me, you know, I was just praising him. And do you know, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. But that was because the word of God took root in my heart. It came out of my mouth, and it produced that creative power to do what he had promised. Do you see what I'm saying? We have to get it in our heart and then speak it forth, because he's given us the power to do that. For me, in that situation, that was the fulfillment of his will for my life at that moment. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. And he'll do that for all of us, you know. But it's the faith is believing. I think the challenge for many is to believe God's word and that he is a mighty God. He is more powerful than any circumstance that we could ever come against. He's on our side. And it wasn't necessarily me begging him to do something because I wanted him to do it. It was like he knew I needed it. It was a time of transition in my life. He was supporting it, but the enemy was fighting with all he had. But he couldn't do anything for me until I decided that I was on God's side too, that I saw it as his will for my life, and I proclaimed it. Does that help you at all? Yeah. And so abundantly, amen. Yeah, it was just, and then all I could do was just, I mean, then the tears changed from tears of sorrow to tears of joy, you know, to know that, and I don't know how you experience God, but when you've talked to him and you share things with him from your heart, and then you find yourself walking in the answer of what you prayed, it brings great joy. It really does. It brings great peace. It brings trust for the next time, because that's the memorial stone. We you know, I can go, well, God, you did that. You'll do this, you know? Okay. So faith is not an option. The word produces it. And without it, it says, the Bible says what? Without faith, we can't please God. It's impossible. We have to have faith. Faith is a requirement to bring what God has into this realm. So we need faith to bring what God has already fulfilled in us, to speak it forth so it can be fulfilled on the earth. Amen? Okay. Faith is a creative force of the Word of God in us. When activated, it begins to cause the Word to be fulfilled in and through us, because the Word produces faith. So the more of the Word we have, and that's concerning healing as well, the more the Word we have concerning healing, the more the Word we have concerning finances or whatever it is that we stand in the need of. This is a story from, years ago. I had a car that, I always get this word, muffler, had gone bad on. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know how I'm gonna pay for this. And I'm driving, back then, I don't even know if it still exists, Midas muffler place. Well, I'm driving to the place, and I hear the Lord say in my heart, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. And I said, okay, Lord. So I get to the shop. They check my car. I had a warranty that I didn't even know I had. I think I paid $25 for the replacement of the muffler. Can you understand that? That was the Word activated in my heart. God spoke it to me through the Holy Spirit in my heart, and I said, I mean, I don't even know if I understood what it meant, but I knew He had me. The Word of God brought the fulfillment of His will in my life at that very moment. I had $25. I didn't have enough money for the whole muffler. Yeah. So I'm going to read that again. Faith is a creative force of the Word of God in us. When activated, it begins to cause the Word to be fulfilled in and through us, because the Word produces faith. It produces faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. What I learned from this particular study, too, is that next little segment in the outline, where it says, don't get your hopes too high. That the enemy of our souls, I don't know about you, but even when I was studying this, I thought of examples of where I have said, I don't want to get my hopes up too high. Because what if it doesn't happen? What if I get disappointed if I really believe? You know, that's a lie from the enemy. But he tells us, you know, like even when we pray for healing, we pray for finances or whatever else it might be that we need. And I realize that in my life, there have been times where I have been robbed, and a couple of times of large sums of money. And so when I hear people talking about prosperity, even though I believe I have faith for that, there's a part of me that kind of that holds back, because I think, well, I don't want to get my hopes up too high, because I remember what happened before. We do that. We remember past failures, things we didn't do right. And it keeps us from, and what he talks, I'm getting ahead of myself, but what he talks about in this is that we're not, the past is gone. It's forgotten. And sometimes we dwell there, and it keeps us from hoping for the future. And what he says is, faith is future. And once you have the manifestation of the faith that you are, or whatever you're seeking God for, it's over. You know, you don't need faith for that anymore, because you already got it, right? So what the enemy tries to do is to keep us from having the faith, and he tells us, "Don't get your hope up, Because you remember what happened before? Remember that experience you had before? You don't want to be disappointed. And so we stay stuck in the past and don't live in the future, in the present moment. Let me go on. Hope means actually expected or trust. And I think that's really important. Reverend Pierce says, instead of disappointment, we should have divine appointment thinking. I like that. He says, this is another statement he made. He says, we're trying to measure our future by our past failures. Our level of hope determines our level of expectation. So we are to hope in God. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever found yourself doing this, but maybe we don't want to allow ourselves to trust God for too much. You know, we don't believe that he's a too much God. But have you ever been blessed so much? You know, I heard this term, bless your socks off, where God just blesses you so much and that you kind of want to go, whoa, you know, because we don't know how to handle it. But sometimes we don't want to believe our God for the too much. And he's suggesting that we do that. It says, even when he tells us he is the rewarder of those who seek him, do we really understand and believe he, the powerful will of God? God's will is for us. I think one of the things that blessed me so much is we were here on a Tuesday, and Pastor Kim was sharing, and she said these words. She said, God is a good God, and he does good things for his people. And I remember thinking, that's mine. I'm going to take that. And that word resounds in me a lot. God, you're good. I'm your daughter, and you do good things for me, you know? So future hope, some of the synonyms for the word hope are goal, direct, place, but in the noun, the definition of the noun for the word hope is a goal intended to be attained and which is believed to be attainable, you know? So we have faith, and we are hoping for that object of our faith to be attained. And it says here, I think I have this in your outline, hope is a target of faith to bring God's promise to the believer. And as I was writing this, I thought, I remember, I think I was in high school, and in our physical education class, we had to, we were learning how to shoot bows and arrows. And I wasn't too fond of that because I wasn't really good at it. And you know, when you pull the bow, if you don't pull the bow back and you don't have the strength and the steadiness, when you let go, that string will hit your arm right here, and it burns. I didn't like that at all. So I really had to learn how to focus, how to look at the target, because, I mean, when I first started, my arrows were going over the target, around the target, on the ground, but I really had to focus. I really had to think about what I was doing to get that bow to hit the target. And it says here that hope is a target of our faith. You know, we have to make sure that the word that we're getting in us is going to hit the target of our faith. I also remember taking tennis classes, and even to this day, I haven't played tennis in a long time, but there was a method to learning how to hit a ball, and it was a count. You would go, you throw the ball up, one, the racket back, two, three, you hit the ball. And even when the ball was coming to you, you would use that same count. And even, I think if I were to go on the tennis court today, I would remember that. It was so ingrained in me. There was a method to learning how to play the game of tennis. And so even in the kingdom, when we have faith and we have a target, there's a method, and a method is the word of God, getting it hidden in our heart. He says, a future hope cannot be determined by past failure. A past failure is something that has already been seen. So when we focus on a past failure, we're not in faith, basically. Faith is not established in what we see. I thought this was a good statement, too. Faith is not established in what we see. Faith is established in what we hear. And what does the word say? That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Philippians, 3:13. I did not write that scripture down for myself. Hold on. Let's see. Forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. So we want to always be moving forward. You know, God is always moving. He's not stagnant at all. The next thing is that we have to be in position. And the truth of God's word determines our position to set us free. The condition, of our faith determines the position that we take. So we can either be in faith, we can be in unbelief, we can be in the past, or we can be in that posture of anticipating the future. So the condition we are in determines our faith or the position that we're in. Let's look at Proverbs 13 and 12. I think I read that already. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And that's out of the NIV. And so the scriptures here tell us that we have to live by faith. And the first one is Romans 1:17. What does that scripture say? The just shall live by faith. You live and move and have your being in the word of truth that produces faith, and it activates in you because you cannot fulfill the will of God unless you do it by faith. And Romans 3:3 says, for what if some did not believe? You know, when you're around unbelievers all the time, you know, they can sway you to believe or think other ways, right? I have family members that I could talk until I'm green in the face about Jesus, and they would still say, no, thank you. I don't want that, you know? But it says, Romans 3:3 says, but for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? No, it wouldn't change. Because I've walked in healing, God has healed me, nobody can convince me that God can't heal. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Nobody can tell me that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. You know, they may not believe it. They may not want to receive him. But I had a personal experience with the Holy Spirit. Nobody would ever convince me that Holy Spirit is not the third person of the Godhead. And he's on the earth today, and he's still convicting man of sin, and he convicts me of my righteousness in Christ Jesus, you know? Let's see. He made a statement, and we've heard this from other writers. It says, don't doubt your faith, doubt your doubt. When we're in doubt, we need to question it, but never doubt our faith. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but the power of God. Man does not have all wisdom, only God does. It says, your faith does not come by religion or tradition. It doesn't come by something that is the tradition of men. It comes in the power of God. It's backed up with resurrection power. It's backed up by the Spirit of God that is within you. Let's see, Romans 9, 17. For this very purpose I have raised you up. I love this. For this very purpose I have raised you up, that you may show my power in you. Christ has raised each one of us up because he wants to demonstrate his power through us. And none of us are weak. None of us are feeble because we have the living Christ on the inside of us. And he wants to demonstrate himself through us. Amen? Yes. Yeah. You guys are getting quiet on me, you know. I don't know if you're thinking or, I mean, but when I hear that, it's something in me wants to go, yoo-hoo, you know. God wants to demonstrate his power through us. Okay, James 5:15. It says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. We've been praying for our pastor. We've been praying for other members who are among us who are dealing with physical illness. And it says that our prayers not only will save the sick, but then it says the Lord will raise him up. I love, and I can't remember right now where the scripture is, but it talked about, I believe it's in Acts, but it talks about when in the New Testament, there's a scripture in the New Testament that's referencing the Old Testament, and it calls God the sovereign Lord. And it says, when God raises his hand with healing, you know, he comes, he raises his hand. And, you know, we've had testimony of Jesus walking through the rows in here, walking, you know, down the aisle. It says, the sovereign Lord. You know, Isabel called him the holy, holy, holy God. He comes in on, every time we gather, he's here. He's with us. And he raises his hand to heal and to do miracles. You know, he's here. We have to receive. And our receiving is a part of the fulfillment of God's will. I guess I want you to hear that. Healing is the fulfillment of God's will on the earth today. You know, and prophetic voices are saying that God is about to do miraculous things that we've not seen before. You know, sometimes I think, we tend to say this, well, it's worse now than it has ever been, but it really isn't. When you look at back at Bible times, sometimes it was really bad and there was always war and there was stuff going on and people were dying and, you know, constant war and battle, you know. There were things that we think today are horrendous that were going on then. There's nothing new under the sun. It's probably just more exposed to us than it has ever been, but it's always been there because the enemy of our soul has always been here. And it may be a little bit more escalated, but God is sovereign. He's still in control. And he wants to use us to fulfill his will on the earth concerning those people that are doing those things and to bring those that he has preordained, he has predestined, the ones that he knows will say yes to him into the kingdom. Amen. All right. Hebrews 10:22 said, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance in faith. Amen. And I think that's it. So, questions, comments about just having faith to heal, just a better understanding of faith. And I think that the two things I want to pull out of this is that God has already fulfilled all things, but it has not, what he has fulfilled has not completely been fulfilled in man in terms of bringing the kingdom, yeah, bringing the kingdom to earth, to the realm of earth, and manifest the way that it is in heaven. Amen? He wants to do that, and he wants to do that through us. Amen? Questions, comments, You got something? Amen.
So going along with that statement, God's will, his kingdom will not be established on the earth unless you participate in it, right? It's not going to happen in you unless you agree to it and walk in it. And it's not going to happen in other people's lives out there unless you do something. You know, it says that they went out preaching the word, the Holy Spirit working with them. If we don't go out and preach the word, then the Holy Spirit doesn't have to have a way to work, right? He works in us, through us, to establish the kingdom of God. So we must do so that he can fulfill, you know, he can move in his power. You know, it talks about Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for that he must believe, you know, who that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He loves us so much. And when we don't believe that he'll act, I really believe that this breaks his heart. Because he loves us so much. He wants to do. He wants to move in power, you know, in a supernatural way to show himself strong in you and to this world. But a lot of times we don't believe and we actually stop him, you know. By not agreeing and seeing and understanding who he is and how much he loves us, you know, I believe it really hurts him. You know, that's why we can't please him, because he wants to. He really wants to. But we have to agree to be able to receive. And by doing that is know that he loves us and he is ready to move and work if we just will do our part and believe, you know. So I think it breaks his heart because he's ready to move and work. He's got everything established. It's just we need to jump in and believe.
Anybody else? Okay. I'll bring the mic to you.
God bless you. You know, I know that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but just like was just reiterated about the importance of us, it's really been impacting me lately in different messages that I have been getting. You know, Heidi Baker, you know, Roland and Heidi Baker, you know, she's got that about stopping for the one. You know, we don't have to think about being behind the podium and speaking to the masses. I had an experience last week as an example. And I'm not bragging on myself because I got nothing to brag about myself, but got into a situation where I let the Lord use me. You know, like it says, we have to come into agreement with what the Lord is impressing upon us, you know, each one of us. And I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do, but I let the Lord use me. And when we say, okay, Lord, oh, there's always an assignment. But he never gives you something that you can't do with his help. And I didn't get to see, you know, what the final outcome was. But I know that I know that I know that seeds were planted. And God promises that his word will not return unto him void. So, you know, a lot of times for each one of us, it might be that one. And sometimes, you know, it's as simple as just giving somebody some love by a smile or a hug or acknowledging them. There's a lot of people who are got their face that they try to show the world, but the internal is altogether another story. So I just want to encourage you in that. There was a time in my life, in my journey of life, where you go on your mountaintop and then you're in a valley and stuff. You know, and when I'd be in my mountaintop situations, that was when I was more prone to saying, Lord, is it something you want me to do? And inevitably, he would lead me to a situation or an individual. And so, God bless each and every one of you.
So on page 2 of your notes, Cal Pierce's statement here where he says, faith is the creative force of the word of God in us. When activated, begins to cause the word to be fulfilled in and through us because the word of God produces faith. So I just want to encourage you that as you walk in the things of God and as you stand upon the word of God, God's word is at work in you. And God's word is at work in you in everything that you do. It's in. It's at work in your family. It's at work in your church. It's at work in your workplace. Just simply because you stand upon the word of God and you're speaking the word. Because the Bible says that he watches over his word to perform it in our life. And faith is something that's active. Faith is in motion. And so as we begin to declare the word of God works in our life. And I want to encourage you with that today because God is good. And, you know, I shared with Pastor Dave earlier today, even when we don't see God working, he's working because we're declaring the word of God. And when we declare the word of God, we're literally calling those things as though they're not, as though they are, because we're declaring faith is active, the word. And so the word works and it produces in you every good intent that the kingdom of God has for your life. Amen. Just want to encourage you with that.
Anybody else? Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the book of Hebrews tells us that your word is sharp. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, dividing asunder soul and spirit. Father, we thank you for the word, and we thank you that your word activates faith in us, Lord God. And, Lord, we thank you for this church, Lord, where the word is continually preached and shared. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're growing into that place of being the fulfillment of your will in the earth. We thank you for what you're doing in each of us, individually and collectively. And Father, we just say, we want more, Lord. We want more of you and want to be who and what you've called us to be. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.